And now, the news.
Get out there tomorrow, 2 p.m. They're coming off a win against Boise State. The Rebels host Fresno State. Coach Justin Hudson, former Rebel assistant. He will be in town with the Bulldogs, and they're a good team. Lost a one-pointer to Utah State earlier in the week. So they'll be ready. And Coach Menzies and his hot three-point shooting team from Boise will be at home. 2 p.m. tip. And another opportunity for the Rebels to try to win a game and stay in that top five range where you get off that first day play in the Mountain West Conference tournament. Really, at this point, should be their goal to get off that first day and have some rest and then play the second day when the top seeds play. So, yeah, Justin Hudson has a good team, a couple really good seniors, and I think it'll still be a good one. They're better than Boise, so I don't know if you're going 14 of 26 from three tomorrow. But this will be a good one. Good test for the Rebels. Rebels desperately needed that win the other night after losing three straight, each by 17, which, by the way, I have no idea what the odds of the books of that would have been, that lose three straight games by 17 points. that would have been, I mean, talk about Leicester City odds. I think, you got the Golden Knights tomorrow night against Columbus at 7, but before that, head out to Thomas and Mack, and it's a big game. Fresno's good. And look, say this about the Rebels. I mean, the schedule makers did them some favors this year. They only have Fresno once, I believe. I think they only have Utah State once, I believe. Do they go to Laramie? I don't even think they go to Laramie. The schedule makers did well for really year good. Three of very Coach favorable. Menzies. Believe very yeah. favorable. So, I don't think they have to go to Fresno. It's a winnable game. The odds have not come out. I'll look at the end of the show to give you a line if they're out by now, but they're not out yet. I would think Fresno. What do you think? Tell me, Fresno 2-3. I mean, Fresno has to be favored, right?
I guess you could make them a 3.5 to point
they
favorite,
would be,
maybe 4.
They'd be favored, wouldn't
yeah,
they?
Only because of their current record and the good defense that we know Huddy can do. Like, this is going
to
be.
KenPom would absolutely. I'll look at KenPom. We'll figure out the line, but they'd have to be favored.
That's right, and for everything that went right at Boise State this week on Wednesday night, I think one of the things is that they didn't turn the ball over a lot, and they made some great adjustments in the second half without Joel and Tomboy. Here's Marvin Menzies after the game on just four turnovers.
Amari turned it over two or three times in the first half. Yep. And I told him, I said, Amari, why are you? What's wrong with your body language? He's like, oh, we're turning it over. I said, no, we had four. The team had four. Yeah, you might have had three of them.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. The team only had four.
That's right.
So you got to think about it from a collective, type of mindset.
Right.
We were doing okay.
Exactly.
We just were bad defensively. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm.
Amari Hardy was a great example the other night. A kid who at halftime obviously listened to his coaches. His first half might have been one of the worst he's played at UNLV. In the second half, he turned it around, and that's a kid listening. And again, someone getting in his face and saying, "Hey, let's go. You got another half to play," and he turned it around. We talked about the line yesterday of Robotham, which was ridiculously good with the 37 minutes and the no turnovers, a 21-10 assists. I mean, that's an insane line for at any level of basketball for a kid who handles the ball. So yeah. Tomorrow, that's a big game, man. That's a winnable game against a better team. That's what you have tomorrow. You have a better team, but it's a winnable game at home. So that's one you have to show up and play 40 minutes and, try to get it done.
It'd be a great time to get out there. Get your tickets at UNLVtickets.com, 739Fans. Afternoon matinee, the tip-it-off at 2 o'clock. ESPN will have the pregame coverage beginning at 12:30 with Tyler Bischoff and the whole crew down there on campus tomorrow afternoon here on ESPN Las Vegas.
Big day yesterday, trade deadline in the NBA. Let's go over some winners and losers. I don't know what you think, Clay. I think Lakers by far the biggest loser. I say that in that I think the Pelicans, if that was truly the deal on the table, I think the Pelicans screwed up and didn't take the deal. But at the end of the day, it didn't happen. So what's gone on now is they lost a chance to be relevant now. They're going to be in a weaker bargaining position this summer when free agency begins because other people will now be involved.
Okay.
They're kind of forced to revisit the reality that Davis was an exception when it comes to big-name players who want to play with James. That's another thing that not a lot of coverage is getting. How many big-name players truly want to play with him? Well, we've heard Durant's comments, that lunatic. I don't think he wants to play with him. I don't think Kawhi does. I think there's something out there that, as great as LeBron is, I think you only have a few truly, truly elites who want to be with him. So Davis is one, so they're going to have to revisit it. I think the Lakers lost. A couple of teams I thought won. I thought Toronto getting Marc Gasol was a really, really big move. You're talking about a veteran center He puts up numbers. It was right when the time expired that they pulled off that deal. I thought that was a really good win. I thought the Sixers, I thought Tobias Harris was kind of the sneaky acquisition that could be really good.
Oh, yeah.
Philly looks primed for a run. Other losers, I thought the Pelicans, because I thought it was just stupid not to make that deal.
They made no deals.
They did nothing. And Anthony Davis, by the way, we should say, is now going to play the rest of the year.
Yes, because the NBA does not like the fact that the team was trying to hold him out just so they could keep him healthy enough to bargain for other teams. But who else was in this mix? I mean, like, we were hearing, like, there weren't even counter offers from the Pelicans. So this was just bad and very poor mismanagement. And I felt like Toronto was going to do a lot more. You know, when you go and you extend yourself to go and get Kawhi Leonard, you feel like this 2019 would be the year where you really make a push without LeBron in the East. They didn't do that. Marc Gasol is a very good player, but did they do enough to even beat or even match up against what the Sixers have done? Because the Sixers
or Milwaukee. Those three are going to fight it out in the East.
Because I felt like Toronto had an advantage, but I think they kind of squandered it. They just didn't want to give up too much.
Another team I think is better and set for the future, and they get a lot of grief because what the history of their franchise has been for the last several years. I know Harrison Barnes was pissed he got traded in mid-game Wednesday, but Sacramento didn't give up a lot, unless obviously someone thinks Justin Jackson's going to be a superstar one day, which I don't think is going to happen. But you put Barnes with people like Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox. They added Alec Burks. Look, they play in a really hard place in the West with that division, right? So it's going to take a lot for Sacramento to suddenly be good. But I thought that was, if you're looking for winners, I thought the Kings getting Harrison Barnes for almost nothing, that was a good move. There were other winners and losers.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I told you I thought the Raptors did. You know, the Wizards, that was a rough week for the Wizards. I mean, John Wall blowing that Achilles was really bad. They traded Porter to Chicago for really nothing just to cut salary. So I think the Wizards are really hurting right now. But I think if you want to say the biggest winner, biggest loser, I will say the biggest loser, I just have to say the Lakers. The biggest winner, I'll give a tie to the 76ers getting Tobias Harris and the Toronto getting Marc Gasol. And I think it's going to be a great race between those three. And you add the Greek Freak in Milwaukee now and the way he's played this year, MVP caliber. The East is going to be interesting. I think the East is going to be far more interesting than the West because I just think the Warriors are winning again.
Oh, big time. And I think that even the Milwaukee Bucks making a deal to get Mirotić is a smart move.
They tried
move.
Something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a smart move. They didn't want to give up too much, but at least they were up to something. At least they're trying to make a real push. It's not just about the regular season. But, I mean, we might see Mirotić in Dallas. They play the Mavericks tonight. But, getting rid of Thon Maker and those guys, maybe that was also a good deal for them. I feel like the Raptors should have done more. At the same time, you know, the Lakers, when you trade Beasley and Zubac to the Clippers for Muscala, Zubac was a very valuable guy on that team.
Yep.
And, this harkens back to what William was saying yesterday that, you know what, they just need like a real general manager to get back in there because it doesn't look like they're able to close deals the way they think they're going to.
I'm telling you, they're not closers.
No,
they're not closers. One winner that will be a winner in the summer, and we want this to happen because I want this guy to have to deal with the media there every day. Now, you can't say the Knicks were a winner yet by dealing Porzingis and Hardaway because they obviously didn't get equivalent parts in return. I mean, Porzingis is a star. But if the lunatic Durant in the summer decides to be a Knick, and they're also talking about Kyrie Irving joining him, then at that point we will say the Knicks were the biggest winner because they cleared the ability with the Porzingis and getting rid of Hardaway and Porzingis
to
have these come. Now, again, we don't know. In the summer, we could say same old Knicks. They didn't get any of these guys, and they still stink. But the Knicks could potentially have come from this deadline a winner just because of who they moved to set up, perhaps, the summer of KD and the New York media. We want that more than anything. I got to believe even if KD is dumb enough to think he could make it happen, his agent would say, not a good idea. You can't even handle the Bay Area media. Never mind, we're going to do it in New York. There's no chance you would survive there. If you're going to act like this. I mean, if suddenly you're a different guy and you're the guy at the MVP speech and you're a normal human being, not on Twitter following weird writers and liking things.
You're asking a lot here. Yeah.
Now, if you change overnight and become that kid everyone fell in love with who would show up at Oklahoma State, you know, a fraternity would put it out, you know, KD come to our game at midnight flag football and he'd show up in a backpack and hang out with kids and play. That guy might be able to make it in New York. But that guy was a long time ago. Whatever happened to him, I'm not sure. In terms of the media and how he reacts, because I remember when he was a kid, everyone loved this kid. He would do stuff like that. He would put out on Twitter what's going on tonight. And the famous story is it was either Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. One of the kids in a fraternity said, "Hey, dude, we're playing at midnight flag football." And KD rolled in. He was a star at that point. That kind of stuff. The MVP talked to his mom. That kind of stuff. Where did that guy go? How did he become the most insecure, greatest athlete of our time in terms of this Twitter nonsense and caring what the media thinks so much? Now, if we could get that kid back, maybe he'd be okay in New York. But the guy we saw the other day in that press conference will be eaten alive daily in New York. They would destroy that guy.
There are journalists and people on staffs there that are just there to take down the heroes and take.
Yeah, they would destroy that guy.
And they would go and they would follow who you follow on social media and show you for what you really are as somebody very insecure about their own standing and about what people think. And you know what? I'm just saying that New York is full of those kinds of journalists that are really, really good at their jobs, but they have payrolls and staffs where people are just going to hone in on you and wait till you crack.
They would be. They would follow anything that kid did social media. They would destroy him. I'm talking about the kid we saw. The guy we saw the other night with the media, which made it was the most. Again, it was a typical Durant. No one knows what the hell you're talking about. Why are you ripping these people? Media press conference. Why even there? If this is all you have to do is rip people and you don't want to talk to anyone, just leave, and put someone else up there. All right. When we come back, interesting story. Ron Kantowski of the Review Journal wrote about a local limo driver. You know what? He saw two gentlemen that he really, really admired, took a walk over, said hello, shook some hands. You won't believe what happened next. We'll tell you after this.
Right now it is 8:16 on your Friday morning, 8:30, Mike Weinstein, 8:48, Russ Langer on the life of Frank Robinson. Traffic's next. This part of the show is brought to you by Interstate Batteries.
When it comes to dependability in car batteries, no one beats Interstate Batteries. Interstate Batteries has been providing outrageously dependable starting power for over 65 years. With over 200,000 dealers nationwide, there's one near you. Just click on interstatebatteries.com.
That's what the sound cars make.
We have a crash on the Southern Beltway 215 eastbound at I-15 that has the freeway. Two right lanes are blocked. Yeah, you can expect some delays there. We have other accidents there on the surface streets. Springgate at Town Center. Nellis at Sun Valley, Flamingo at Cimarron, Reno at Spencer, and now on the Strip, Las Vegas Boulevard at East Sahara, and we have a hit and run downtown Charleston at 14th Street. Traffic brought to you by B&D Pools.
Time to start planning for the 2019 swim season. Call B&D Pool Plastering and remodel your tired looking pool. With B&D's 2019 swim season pricing, beat the rush. For a free estimate, call B&D Pool Plastering, 702-644-8980.
Hey, it's JT the Brick. I'm a New Yorker. I know great pizza. Grimaldi's has the best pizza I've ever had. Only at Grimaldi's can you get their famous New York-style coal-fire brick oven pizza. It's the only pizza my family and I ever eat. Check it out, Grimaldi's.
Become a part of history as the inaugural season of the Alliance of American Football kicks off this Saturday. Join us for the official viewing party at Tap Sports Bar inside the MGM Grand as the San Diego Fleet takes on the San Antonio Commanders. Watch the game on giant screens, enjoy food and drink specials, giveaways, and check out the family interactive Fan Zone with football toss, cornhole, foosball, and more. Best of all, admission is free. It's the official Alliance of American Football kickoff party this Saturday starting at 3 at Tap Sports Bar inside the MGM Grand. If you're still smoking cigarettes, kick them to the curb and get acquainted with the all-star staff at Elephant Vapor. Elephant Vapor, with 5 valley-wide locations, has been promoting a smoke-free existence since 2013. Fair pricing, top-notch customer service, and a wide selection of vape juices and accessories is what makes Elephant Vapor the number one vape shop in Southern Nevada. If you're still a smoker, join the vape revolution and kick those nasty cancer sticks to the curb and visit Elephant Vapor. Check them out, elephantvapor.com. Find a location near you at elephantvapor.com.
If you need service for your vehicle, there are only two places that make it extremely convenient for you. Visit Busy Boots Automotive at Durango and Flamingo or Zip Zap Auto at Durango and Cheyenne. They provide free diagnosis and free towing with repairs, plus free shuttle service, Wi-Fi, gourmet coffee, and much more. No appointment needed. Open 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. On your first visit, get 10% off up to $50. At your convenience, visit Busy Boots Automotive on Durango and Flamingo or Zip Zap Auto on Durango and Cheyenne.
The 2019 Subaru Outback comes with road-gripping, standard, symmetrical all-wheel drive plus 32 miles per gallon. And it helps keep your journey safe with standard EyeSight Driver Assist technology for an extra set of eyes on the road. This may be our most adventurous Outback yet.
EPA estimated highway. Actual mileage may vary. EyeSight is a driver assist system that may not operate optimally under all driving conditions. Driver is responsible for safe and attentive driving. System effectiveness depends on many factors. See owner's manual.
SubaruLasVegas.com.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you talk faster when your phone has only 1% battery left.
Hey, hon, what's up?
Hey, sweetie, can you pick up kitty litter fabric softener? Oh, the lemony fresh kind. And French vanilla non-dairy creamer on your way home from work.
What?
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Why are you talking like that?
Gotta go. I'm taking Kevin to Taekwondo and I only have a...
Honey? Hello?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Here we are on a Friday. Got some great guests coming up. You want to hear them at the 8:30. We've been looking forward to this. 40 times the NFL. Mike Weinstein, Zybek Sports. They run the 40 times the NFL Combine, and there are myths about 40 times. Are they true? Are they not? How can a human run that fast? We're going to talk to Mike Weinstein of Zybek Sports about running the Combine. They're holding the Combine here at Clark High over the weekend. He'll talk about also. Did you see the limo driver story from Ron Kantowski in the Review Journal?
I was hoping it wasn't true when I first read it.
This is bizarre. Anyway, here we go. Dan Holmgren was the limo driver. He recently had a chance meeting with Mark Davis, Raiders owner, and Mark Bedain, the team president. It's a 53-year-old limo driver for Abraham Limo Service. He'd been working them for less than a month. On January 28th, reading from Kantowski, Holmgren was on duty in the staging area at Caesars, first in line. He'd been idling nearly 4 hours with nary a flare. Blame it on Uber and Lyft, says Kantowski. It was around 10:45, though, that he noticed a familiar haircut near the taxi line and looked up, and there he was, Mark Davis and President Mark Bedain. Holmgren has been a devout follower of all things silver and black, a member of a consortium that purchased eight seat licenses and tickets at $7,500 each when the stadium opened. So he's put his money where his mouth is. He's a fan. He and his friends went in on eight tickets. Holmgren told the starter, the man in charge of limousine service at the curbside, he was going to go say hello to Davis if that was okay. He needed to stretch his legs anyway. I told Davis I was a lifelong Raiders fan, Holmgren said. He laughed and said, hey, so have I been. He shakes my hand. We talk about the stadium. I told him that I went to the Raiders game in 2011 in Houston the day after his dad, Al Davis, passed away. I told him all the stuff that went into being a Raiders fan, going to games, buying the PSLs. He could not have been nicer. As I was talking to him, Mark Bedain gave me a Raiders lapel pin. Well, Holmgren, the limo driver, says this took less than 5 minutes. He said 5 minutes later, he received a call from dispatch. Bring the car back in. You're fired.
Yeesh. Whoa.
He says nowhere in the employee handbook does it say anything like that I can't talk to people. He says the payroll lady told me I was fired because when you have customers, you are not supposed to interact with them except yes or no, sir. I said, ma'am, this was not a customer. These were Caesar's customers. I did not solicit business. They were just waiting for someone to pull up. Kantowski got a hold of Abraham Limo. Finally, they don't talk about firing. So here's the thing. When this story first came up and Ron and I were talking about it, and again, as you know, Kantowski's one of the best. He did a great job in the paper this morning. Read the story. I knew right away, knowing Davis and Bedain, I've been able to, you know, fortunate enough to become able to know them given the Raiders coming to Vegas and all our coverage. Right away, I said to Ron, there's no chance they weren't anything but great to this guy. I talked to Mark Davis on the phone the other night about the whole stadium issue and where they're going to play next year. He is beyond ecstatic about coming to Vegas. He loves Vegas. He loves the fans. You can see him at every Aces game. You can see him at Knights game. He is Vegas, man. He is so all in. It's ridiculous. So I knew right away if a guy would have approached him and said, I was there when your dad was still the owner at that game in Houston, he would have lit up. He loves stories like that. So I knew right away, boy, they were finding him. Bedain loves that kind of stuff. He gave the guy a pin. On the other hand, the first question I had reading it or talking to Ron was, is there a edict by your boss that you can't talk to customers? I mean, do you know that going in? Because again, I think this is silly he got fired, but
But we don't know that industry.
We don't know the industry, and right. I don't know. And driving a limo in Vegas, whether it's Britney Spears or show people or Donnie and Marie or Mark Davis or William Carlson, whoever, you will often, I assume, have celebrities in and out of these limos, many of whom, unlike Davis and Bedane, might value privacy and not want to talk, which is very their prerogative. Tiger Woods is in town. He gets in your limo. Maybe he doesn't want to talk. Okay, your job is to drive him where he's going. That's your job. So my question was there in his handbook or was it told to him when you deal with these people, It's just hello and bring them in. If they want to start a conversation, that's different. Now, his point being is these guys weren't my customers.
They weren't customers anyway.
I just walked over to say hi to them.
It could have been anybody. 364-1100, 364-1100. Call the number. If you're a driver in town, Is this an industry standard that you don't do? Is it crossing the line? And 364-1100, we just want to hear from your opinion. If you drive in this town, what is the edict here? And because we don't find anything wrong with
it.
And we see Mark Davis always taking selfies with people around town.
When it was him, no way this guy, Davis, cared. He loved this stuff.
He loves this stuff.
Now, if Mark Davis and Mark Bedane were customers of this, and they contracted this limo service out, and in this guy's handbook, as silly as I think it would be, but in his handbook, the company said you do not get personal unless they do, and then they found out he did, then it's a fireable offense. It's a stupid fireable offense, but if Natalie or Tony comes in here and says, Clay and Ed, or Mark Seidel, who's just in here, our boss comes and says, you can't say this on the air, we need to do this, and then we do it, it's a fireable offense, whether we agree with the edict or not. So in this sense, though, it appeared that he just walked up to them, they weren't his customers, and it could have been Joe from the barber shop or Mike from his mailman or whoever, and he went away from his car for 5 minutes and came back, and they said, bring your car in, you're fired. I think some lines got crossed here, because if he was told you are fired for interacting with customers beyond yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, then they fired him for the wrong reason. These were not his customers. These were two guys that he knew because they were famous standing on the side, and he went up to them and interacted with them because he's a Raider fan. And by the way, he's in on 8 PSL. So, Clay, if we do lose our jobs, you and I are going to become limo drivers. Because if this guy's in on 8 PSLs, he's doing pretty well.
You'd look good in a tux. Just sit there and drive.
Drive the car. Look at me. Drive the Honda. I'm going to drive a stretch limo and kill people.
I'll drive. You handle the social media.
I will be handing out Pure Lease. Harold, what do you think? 364-1100. Harold, good firing or bad firing?
There are restraints that, you do need to follow by. And even how I operate, I never really approach customers because that could get kind of testy. Not that you're being standoffish from them. It's just a line of communication that is accepted and is not accepted. But I give you one scenario. He's the CEO of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton.
Okay.
I drove him around for like almost, I had him for about like maybe 3 or 4 hours, and the guy couldn't have been more gracious, more very inviting in conversations, to the point to where he appreciated my service and gave him his personal number and business card because he appreciated the service. So it all kind of depends on who the customer is and do they value your service, and then do you acknowledge their privacy?
Right. Yeah, and here's the thing. I think he was very gracious in the article. I don't think he wasn't bashing anyone. He just, I don't think he wanted anything out of this. I think it was an interesting story. But his point was, these weren't customers. It could have been you, Harold. It could have been a guy he knew that they just saw standing over that he went to have a 5-minute conversation with. Had Bedane and Davis contracted his limo service, now you're in a completely different deal here, and you better follow the rules of yes, sir, no, sir.
Yeah, that's a whole different scenario. But if he's just standing out there, that's not harming anyone. I mean, I speak to people. I don't solicit rides, but if I'm standing there and somebody engages in the conversation, this is part of the conversation.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Harold. We really appreciate
it. All right, guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Harold. Checking in. 364-1100. Teddy, good or bad firing?
Well, it depends. I drove limos in for 7 years in this city. And there is a law, the company law says that do not contact your customer, especially if they are celebrities. I drove a bunch of them including Nicki Minaj. I almost got fired because of her for just saying hello. Because I'm not supposed to say hello. So if this guy, there's a written, when he got hired, there's a written consent that says that do not talk to celebrities when you have them as a client. So maybe the way he approached them wasn't right. Maybe when he approached them, he was aggressive. Maybe they call and say, maybe even the owner, the celebrity has complained saying that he approached him aggressively. So there's got to be some kind of reason why. So I don't think he got fired because just he went and talked to them. They probably complained that for him talking to them. Otherwise, he wouldn't be getting fired, I think.
Well, thank you, Teddy.
Teddy, that's great insight, man. Thank you for that.
I'm telling you, and you know me with money and Greenspan.
I understand.
I would bet a lot of money that neither Mark Davis or Mark Bedain complained about anything. They actually gave him a lapel pin. You're not complaining when someone comes up and says, boys, I bought 8 PSLs at $7,500 a pop. They probably wanted to invite him to the suite and say, hey, bring your friends with you.
Right, I'll kiss you on the
mouth. I don't think it was that. Again, it goes back to this guy saying these were not clients. I was stretching my legs. Mm-hmm. He could have walked anyway. I mean, he could have just said, hey, I'm first in line. I'm going to take a walk. Okay, you know, we'll hear if a client comes, we're going to get you. And he just happened to go over because he knew who they were, and most people do in town now, and talk to them. I don't. There's no way Davis and Bedain complained to anybody. There's no chance that happened.
I understand, but I think we're starting to understand how protocol is in Las Vegas and talking to people who are celebrities, even from the text line 69187. I saw them kick a 10-year-old towel boy from the NBA Summer League just for asking Anthony Bennett for an autograph. You cannot talk to famous people if you're working.
Okay.
And I think that I think that is just an unspoken rule.
Unspoken
here.
Rule of the whole industry. Finish us out, Ruben. 364-1100. Ruben, good or bad?
Catch 22. I just want to know who snitched on him. I mean,
yeah, who did that?
Who's gonna get stitches? <You know?
laughs> Could that have been like another limo driver staging up?
Could have been because he said, Ruben. He said it was 5 minutes after the encounter when he walked away and they gave him the lapel pin. 5 minutes after, his dispatcher said, "Bring the car back in." Now, I don't think it's Bedain and Davis because in 5 minutes they don't have a chance to like call these people and say this would happen. So it might have been another driver, like you said. It might have been the dispatcher in front of the line that he said he was leaving the limo. I mean, that's a great call, Ruben. Who snitched on this guy?
Yeah, exactly. And then one more question, Ed. I just had a question with the whole homeless issue of us this coming season. Why didn't the Oakland sign the 1 year, get the money, and then sue them?
Well, Ruben, you have now been elected the mayor of Oakland.
Yeah,
that's actually a very good point.
You should be mayor right now. That's really good.
other than maybe the Raiders would have been smart enough to, in the agreement, say, we're going to come and give you 7.5 pending no litigation, because the threat was always out there that they would sue. But if they weren't smart enough to do that, Ruben, that's something maybe Oakland nefariously should have thought of. It's like, well, how can we get our money and sue you too? I don't know the answer, Ruben. I know you're now the mayor because I never thought of that. But unless the Raiders would have put it in the document of we'll give you 7.5 pending you're not suing us, you might as well take your shot, right? I mean, you might as well try to get your money and also sue.
Yeah, because like I said, the lawsuit's not guaranteed they're going to win.
No.
And then you better get a little something than nothing. But I always had that thought in my head, and I know you guys have been really busy with coverage of other things, sports, Super Bowl, whatnot. But I just had that itch to ask that question. But
that's a great thought, Ruben. I still think they're going back to the Coliseum.
In my heart, I hope they do. But, man, if not, go to Fresno. Honestly, why not Fresno State? 45-minute flight. I don't know.
Hey,
nobody
you
wants them in the Bay Area.
Ruben, you know another you know another place that had been talked behind the scenes about. What do you think about this? Mackey Stadium at Reno.
That would work too. I mean, it's just for 1 year. I understand the Sam Boyd issue where they don't want to pump in the money to upgrade it. You know, maybe Bishop Gorman. I don't know. Maybe their field's better.
Right.
But the facilities wise, I mean, we need a home, guys. I'm a Raider till I die. But man, it's kind of like here we go with the soap opera again, the telenovela.
Oh, it is. Here's a thank you, Ruben.
Thank you, Ruben.
Call in anytime, Ruben. We'll answer your questions. Here's another one from the text line. The cabs probably reported him for trying to recruit customers out of the cab line.
Wow. It's a great point. I want to turn on this guy. We'll follow the story. I'm guessing the Raiders might have a response, and there might be some free hot dogs in this guy's future. There's no chance Davis or Mark Bedain wanted something like this to happen. No chance. There's no way. They will hear about this. They will read it. The story's going crazy viral because of it's the Raiders and Vegas and everything. They'll hear about it. And I'm not going to be falling down if they do something for this guy, because I just don't think they'd ever want something like this to happen. When we come back, been waiting for this all morning. Mike Weinstein, Zybeck Sports. These are the people who time the 40-yard dashes at the NFL Combine. They're in town, actually, for a Combine here. We'll talk about that with Mike coming back. Are they myth? Or are they fact? Back with the 40-yard dash.
Become a part of history as the inaugural season of the Alliance of American Football kicks off this Saturday. Join us for the official viewing party at Tap Sports Bar inside the MGM Grand as the San Diego Fleet takes on the San Antonio Commanders. Watch the game on giant screens, enjoy food and drink specials, giveaways, and check out the family interactive Fan Zone with football toss, cornhole, foosball, and more. Best of all, admission is free. It's the official Alliance of American Football kickoff party this Saturday starting at 3 at Tap Sports Bar inside the MGM Grand.
That's the sound cosmic.
We have an accident on Town Center at Hualapai, as well as the Sun Valley at Nellis, Las Vegas Boulevard at East Sahara, and downtown crash on Charleston at 14th Street. We also have that accident in the clearing stages 215 eastbound at I-15 with the two right lanes from the earlier crash blocked.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you talk faster when your phone has only 1% battery left.
Hey, hon, what's up?
Hey, sweetie, can you pick up Kitty Litter Fabric Softener? Oh, the lemony fresh kind. And French vanilla non-dairy creamer on your way home from work.
What?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Why are you talking like that?
Gotta go. I'm taking Kevin to Taekwondo, and I only have a...
Honey? Hello?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Get ready for an afternoon of food and entertainment featuring top performers from the Las Vegas Strip. It's the Share the Promise campaign concert on Sunday, February 10th, to benefit Family Promise of Las Vegas. Tickets are only $15 and can be purchased online at fplv.org.
Hey guys, are you ready for spring and this summer's pool season? Dr. Frank Style is a board-certified cosmetic plastic surgeon who specializes in male rejuvenation surgery. They regrow hair and thicken thinning hair using non-surgical platelet-rich plasma treatments. This treatment is painless and has no downtime. See results quickly without surgery. Go to drstyle.com or call his office at 702-243-9555 to make an appointment for a free consultation.
Here we go. Russ Langer on the passing of Frank Robinson at 8:50. Steph McKenzie and her lunacy at 9. The boys from UNLV hockey will be in at 9:30. Big games against Arizona tonight and tomorrow. Here now, though, I've been excited about all this all morning and all day yesterday when I thought about it. Mike Weinstein, he's the CEO of Zybeck Sports, joining us live. I believe Mike's in Colorado. Mike, how are you this morning?
Terrific, thank you. How are you doing?
We're very good. I'm excited about this because I think 40 times are fascinating. I think people see them and initial reactions are, how can a human be that fast? Who these times are crazy. They're getting faster and faster, as we know, with nutrition and weight training and how athletes treat their bodies comparative to maybe decades ago. First of all, before we talk about the combine here at Clark High over the weekend that you're doing with Rivals and others, tell us about Zybeck Sports. How did you come to do this and the NFL contract you, and what do you do at combines in terms of being the official keeper of these 40 times?
Well, excellent. Yeah, Zybeck Sports has been doing the 40-yard dash timing at the NFL scouting for, this will be our ninth year. We started 9 years ago just kind of as a backup system that they were testing to see how well we could do and how their system was comparing to it. And then the next year they had us back, and we've been there ever since. So it's actually one of the easiest events that we do all year, because there's only about 250 athletes that
right.
we test at the NFL Combine. But the cool thing is that it can really show the athletes, like what we're doing this weekend in Las Vegas, exactly the same timing system that's used at the NFL Combine. So we can really show the athletes at a young age kind of where they stack up, and where they really need to be performing at if they're going to be a serious college contender.
Yeah, and I also think the good a great part about your system is you're completely independent. So it can't go. Someone can't go back and say, "Well, that's the NFL people. They're doing that." And who's got the hand timer? And you know, the times sent to the NFL media is a hand start, a laser finish, but it's independent of scouting in NFL. So no one can say, "Hey, what's going on here behind the scenes?" You guys, correct me if I'm wrong, are completely independent in terms of your timing.
That's correct. Yes, I'm totally independent from the NFL. And at the NFL scouting, for example, we're running three independent systems that Zybeck Sports provides. And so I've got those times triple verified. So that, and actually the clock that you see on the NFL media, there's a fiber that gets run from my computer on the turf at the NFL scouting all the way to the NFL media trucks. And that's the signal that gets meshed back into what the public sees.
Why do you think that there's always so much more perception about the 40 times? It almost seems like that is what carries around with you for the rest of your life when you go to the combine. When did this start as being like an indicator for success? Because we still see 350-pound linemen having to do 40 times. What is that really an indicator of? And do you ever feel like it's people take it way too much in a perception of a player?
Well, I think it probably is taken a little bit too much as an ultimatum on an athlete. The cool thing about the 40-yard dash times is that it's a number. You know, in team sports in particular, it's so hard to separate out, the athlete from the team. And there's so many other factors that get involved with evaluating an athlete's capability and athleticism. Good, bad, or indifferent, the 40-yard dash is a number that you get. It's something that you can tweet. Really trying to evaluate a player with all the other subjective factors that get into it, it gets kind of complicated. So this isn't the test, but it's a test, and it's something that is, that you can say in 15 seconds how fast your 40-yard dash time is.
Yeah, there's no time that will not have conspiracy theorists. You know this well. John Ross of Washington went 4.22. Get him into the top 10 of the NFL draft in 17. We know that he broke doing that Chris Johnson's 4.24. Chris Johnson to this day says, "I don't know if that really happened." But I've got guys who will tell you who are old timers who say, "O.J. Simpson ran 4.4. There's never been anyone faster. Get off my lawn." So when these things, what are your answer to these things when they happen? You know they're going to happen. To me, it's very simple. Guys are bigger, faster, stronger. Their nutrition's better. They train better. They have, whether it be hyperbolic chambers or whatever, the ability for an athlete to be at his prime condition now is so unlike it was years ago. I don't blink at these times. I just think, it's evolution. This is what happens when athletes become better over time.
Exactly. Ross was really training hard to be that fastest athlete, and I stand by that time. Again, we triple verified that time with Ross, and I'm not saying anything about Chris Johnson's time, but I can totally justify that. The Ross time is totally accurate.
Right.
And the difference of, I think it's hard for people to appreciate what the difference is of between like a 4.22 and a 4.26 or something. 0.04 seconds is so fast. And just having the athlete make little minor adjustments and changes to how he is actually running that 40-yard dash can easily make up that, 0.04 to 0.09 second type of numbers right there. So it's, but really when you look at the athletes, it's, if anybody that's better than, say, a 4.4 is fast. Anybody faster than a 4.3 is, like, really fast. I think, although it makes for great talk radio topics, that really getting into that third decimal is, it's fun to talk about, but, how it translates to the athleticism is kind of a different topic.
We're speaking to Mike Weinstein, CEO of Zybeck Sports. Follow all of this at Zybeck Sports on Twitter, ZYBEK Sports. Okay, you boys will be in town this week. You are combining with rivals, I believe, for a combine at Clark this weekend, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., Clark High on Saturday. It's one of 14 combines held across the country with for about 1,000 of the top prep players in and around Nevada. Again, it's 9 to 2, Rivals Adidas Combine, along with the Zybek people. Let me ask you this, because this fascinates me, too. We know how much the NFL loves these 40 times and how we were talking about Ross being able to catapult himself into the top 10 of a draft. How? What have the feedback, if all, have you gotten from college coaches? I always wonder, you know, a college coach, does he want to know what a ninth grader can run, what a 10th grader can run? Like, when you do these prep combines and you get 1,000 kids out there, like, how interested are they in these times? Has it gotten to that level where they are also, you know, scientifically looking at, hey, I'm going to recruit that kid. Did you see what he ran at the combine?
Very much so, actually, because coaches can teach skills to athletes, but it's really hard to teach somebody to be an athlete. And that's what we've shown with the combine standardized athlete testing. I think that's the most important thing, that, you know, what we're doing with the 40-yard dash and the broad jump and the vertical jump and the three cone and all the other tests that we do at the combine, these are being done at the high school level the exact same way we do it at the NFL scouting.
Okay.
So this is the standardized athlete test, or the SAT. So it's something that a coach can look at and, you know, really assess what the athleticism of a particular person is. And then they can decide, it's not the test, but it's a test, and that's something they can really look at to see if they can develop that skill into a winning athlete.
And I believe this is a Sunday over at Clark High School, 8:30 to 1 p.m. If you have a student,
Sunday, my bad, Sunday.
If there's a, like, fathers or mothers out there, they have sons or daughters that, you know, want to combine in this, if you want your son to show up, what do you think that you should have them ready? How should they sign up and register over at Clark High School on Sunday?
We're taking walk-ups the entire day.
Okay.
So if you're interested in coming out, come on out, and I'll personally be there, and we'll have all the high school athletes do all the combine testing. And after the testing is done, you know, we'll give them their scores and show exactly how they compare. The other thing that Zybek Sports does is that we'll show those athletes not only how they compare in Nevada, but how they can compare across the country, and really what those athletes need to do to get to that next level. We've been doing testing at so many pretty big Division I colleges, so I can show exactly what a Division I running back looks like, how big they are, how fast they are, how high they jump, and then we can just show the athlete, you know, how they compare to that and where they need to be performing athletically over the next few years. So it's not the test, but it's a test. We can really show the athletes where they are, where they hope to be, and where they dream to be, and give them some numeric guidance as to how to get there.
Zybek founder and CEO Mike Weinstein. Get to their Twitter page, www.zybeksports.com. Again, Clark High Sunday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. They're expecting about 1,000 of the top prep football players in and around Nevada. Get out there and get tested. And again, as Mike said, you can then have a comparative apples to oranges in terms of what you might look like in 2 or 3 years trying to get that scholarship, and then on to, as he said, maybe to your own Indianapolis combine as an NFL player. So Sunday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., Clark High. Get out there and get tested if you're a prep football player. Mike, this was fascinating. We'll follow all your stuff and tell everyone about the combine. We appreciate the few minutes, and good luck with all you do at Zybek Sports.
Great. Thanks for having me on, and it's a no-cost event for anybody that wants to come out.
Thanks very much. Get out there for the Rivals Adidas Combine, and Mike will be there with Zybek Sports Sunday, Clark High, 9 to 2. 40 times fascinate me, because on one sense, you don't play football with shorts and a t-shirt on. I get that. So, you know, and you're not running in a straight line unless you're Tyreek Hill and you say, screw it, I'm just going to run up by everybody and no one can catch me. He's like the weird guy who, like, no one can catch anyway. But I do think it gives some kind of base level of the athleticism. Look, I know guys, I've already had one guy back on Twitter with this whole thing saying, I don't believe any 40 times, blah, 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 blah. Look, then you don't believe about the evolution of athletes. I'm sorry. O.J. Simpson in his prime was an incredible athlete. I think he ran 4.4. But back then, that was blazing. O.J. Simpson today, would a 4.4 would not be what the athlete of today is.
Wouldn't be enough.
It's the nonsense of saying, hey, can LeBron compete back in 1950? He would kill people back then. I mean, it's just one of those things where people just won't accept the fact of what evolution means in terms of bigger, faster, stronger. the nutrition. O.J. Simpson, did they have nutritionists back then? Did they have all this? No. You know what? I'm doing a story for the Review Journal coming up, and I don't want to tease it too much because I think it's going to be a really nice story on Jim Bola, the former women's basketball coach at UNLV. Jim Bola was a great college basketball player in Pittsburgh. Great college. Went to the eight, final eight. Talking to him yesterday, I was at the house with the family. Jim Bola said, "We didn't lift weights. I didn't have a nutritionist. We went out and played, man. We went out and played with pros in the summer on the concrete and beat the hell out of each other." And there's nothing wrong with that, because in those times, that's what you did. Those were the great players. But to say now in 2019 someone can't run a 4-2 because you don't really believe it, that's ignorant. You have to catch up with what's happened with evolution and athletes and being at their prime condition. And these people, I mean, I'm sorry. And I know 40 times shouldn't be everything, because like I said, they're running in shorts and T-shirts. And you don't play football in shorts and T-shirts.
Right.
But you have to give some credit here to how athletes have been defined over the years and how they've matured and grown and how they're you know, with their nutrition and what they know about food now and what they know about lifting and everything like that. I mean, it's insane what these guys do at that level to get their bodies. And everyone makes fun of Brady, but Brady's made a hell of a lot of money off his TB12 or whatever that diet is, I'll tell you that. He's made a fortune off that, because people are like, I can be like that guy at 41? Is that how old he is? 41?
Yes, right.
Yeah, I wasn't like that guy at 20, never mind 41. So, I mean, you know, you look at someone like that, and he's an example held up by, if you eat correctly and you do this and this and this, it doesn't mean everyone's going to be him. But there's just too many advantages now. And I think Zybek, I was glad to have him on, because I'm fascinated on the 40. I'm fascinated on, like, you know, like the laser finish and, like he was saying, the split second. And, you know, I know Chris Johnson was all mad and everything. Dude, you're talking about 4/10 of a second. That's like a blink. I just blinked. That was – it's not like no one thinks you're fast anymore. Yeah, I mean, it's not like, oh man, you only ran that 4.24, man. You must really be slowing down. It's like, dude, come on. How many people in the world can run as fast as that guy did, you know, back in the day? I don't know. I that stuff just fascinates me. Combines and measurements and everything like that. And I'm a big believer in evolution. I'm a big believer that in 2019, people are just better athletes than they were 20 years ago.
Yeah, you got to buy in the evolution, and it's the greatness of the sports that we watch. And how could we not expect this kind of athleticism, yeah, with all the nutrition and all the everything that's going for you, and especially like the reliance on it by colleges and pros, that's the defining measure.
You know, right, everyone accepts we can hold the smartphone in my hand and be that technologically advanced, right? Then why can't we do it with humans? You know, how in one way can you say, I believe everything about the iPhone and technology, but no, you can't run that fast? It doesn't work that way.
We'll talk more about that later. We've got to go take a break. 60 seconds later, we'll be joined by Russ Langer on the life of Frank Robinson.
Steely Dan, reeling in the chips too. A 9-night exclusive Las Vegas residency. April 24th through May 11th at the Venetian Theater at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas. American Express card members, get your tickets now through Friday, February 8th at 10 p.m. before the general public on Saturday, February 9th at 10 a.m. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com or call 1-800-745-3000. Performing as part of the American Express Concert Series, supply is limited. American Express terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
I'm Derek England, and Vegas is my home. I work here, I play here, I even get my cars here. Findlay Kia is my dealership. I appreciate the fact that they're Vegas born and bred. Whether you're looking for a fun-to-drive compact like the Kia Soul, a mid-size SUV like the Kia Sorento, or a performance luxury car like the Kia Stinger, come see Findlay Kia. Getting it right is their driving ambition. And I know a little something about that.
There's a high drive into deep left, way up. That one is going, and it is gone. A home run for Frank Robinson.
Looks to check Powell at first. Delivers. Fly ball. Well hit. Deep left field. It is going to be the 500th home run of a brilliant major league career. Frank Robinson has done it.
Here we go. Thanks again to Mike Weinstein of Zybek Sports and the rivals. Steph McKenzie, 9 o'clock. The boys from UNLV Hockey at 9:30. Pleased to be joined now. Good friend of the show. Your Rebel football voice, and all those, also the voice of the Aviators. He will have wireless, and he will have air conditioning at the new stadium. We're happy for that. Russ Langer has joined the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing outstanding, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. The passing yesterday, obviously, of one of the greats, Frank Robinson. You had a personal relationship with Frank and the incredible player that he was and the person that he was. I think, you know, let's just get to your first thoughts on the passing of Frank Robinson. What were the first things you thought about it? And you had a personal relationship with him, so maybe it wasn't even on the baseball field.
Well, I think that the first thing I would say when I think of Frank Robinson is the tremendously underrated talent that he was. I mean, this is a fellow who could do it all. Somehow they managed to leave him off the All-Century team back in 2000. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But this is a guy who as a player, exemplified competitive fire. When people talk about the most competitive, the fiercest competitors in the history of baseball, the usual names that come up, and with good reason, I'm not begrudging any of them, Ty Cobb, Pete Rose, Bob Gibson, people like that. Frank Robinson always has deserved to be part of that conversation. For some reason, doesn't always get into that topic. But the fact of the matter is that this guy was a tremendous power hitter, tremendous hitter for average. He was a good defensive player with a strong arm. So I would say, and beyond that, a leader. I mean, he taught the Orioles how to win when they pulled off the trade with the Reds in December of 1965 for Mil Pappas. The Orioles were on the verge of being good. He made them great. And from 66 to 71, he led them to the World Series four times, and they won it twice. And I think they made a big mistake trading him after the 71 season. But as Earl Weaver said, if the DH had come in one year earlier, they wouldn't have traded him. So those are my thoughts of Frank as a player. As an individual, just a solid, classy, cordial individual. Now, he could have his moments and get edgy with people if they got on his wrong side, like anyone else. But this was a guy who was a classy individual, and he was great with the press. I worked Montreal Expos games, 29 of them in 2003 and 2004. That's how I got to know him. And he was always nice to me, and talked fondly of his days with the Orioles, especially 1966 when he won the Triple Crown. And it was just a joy to be around somebody like that.
We're with Russ Langer, the voice of the Las Vegas Aviators, talking about the life of Frank Robinson as Russ was a play-by-play of the Montreal Expos in the 03-04 season. When you had a chance to go and talk with Frank when he was the manager, I mean, I think we kind of get lost in the fact that it was just 45 years ago that he was the trailblazer. He was the first African-American manager in baseball with the Cleveland Indians. And I'll never forget the quote he says. He said, "The only reason I'm the first black manager is that I was born black." And is that probably kind of like an idea of his personality, because he was a god among men in that sport?
I would agree with that, Clay. And I think that, you know, I remember when he got that job, and it was a really big deal for all the right reasons. And then the first day that he was a player manager, and I don't think baseball had had a player manager since the 1940s, Lou Boudreau with Cleveland, but he hit a home run that won the ball game. And it was something, the kind of script that Hollywood would have rejected. And, you know, it's an aging star at that point. He'd been around 20 years. He came up and hit the home run, and the Indians won that game. And he went on to manage, of course, to San Francisco. But I would go along with that. I think he later on championed a lot of African American causes, and was a great activist along those lines. He and Henry Aaron were inducted in 1982 into the Hall of Fame the same day, and they had a great friendship as well. And he had a sense of humor. I mean, he managed the Orioles in part of the 1988 season. The beginning of 1988, the Orioles were historically bad. They lost their first 21 games before they finally won. Well, when they were 0-9, lost their first games. Cal Ripken Sr. was managing them. He was fired, and Frank replaced him. Well, then they lost more games to get to 0-21, and they finally won a game. The first game they won in 1988, they were 0-21. They beat the Chicago White Sox 5-3. And after the game, the press gathered around Frank, and with a straight face, he said, "Everybody's gunning for us because we're hot."
Oh, that is so good.
That is absolutely awesome. By the way, Mountain West people voting on this All-Century team. How'd Frank Robinson been left off that, Russ? What's happening? Who's voting on these things nowadays?
Nail that one, Ed. That's for sure.
My goodness.
You know, I remember one of the final years is when he was managing in Montreal. Maybe it was that 2004 season. There was a time where he disputed a call, and he held the umpire on the field for a long, long time. I don't think Frank got ejected, but they kind of stopped play as Frank had like his finger in the ref's face, and he wasn't arguing to make a point. He was just saying, "Look, as a Major League Baseball executive, I wrote the rule here on a particular situation, and you don't know what you're talking about. You obviously haven't read the rule book because I wrote that rule." And I think that's something that also Frank, we forget that he was a longtime baseball executive in many executive positions in Major League Baseball, including like an honorary president of the AL.
No, absolutely. Frank wore a lot of different hats, an amazing baseball resume, as you pointed out, Clay. Also, you know, a guy, we talk about competitive fire, just a tough guy. He played hurt a lot, and that's one of the ways you become a team leader. 1960, the Reds were playing the Braves, and Frank slid into third base particularly hard, and he put his elbow into Eddie Matthews. Eddie Matthews doesn't, he's no wallflower.
He ain't going
Eddie
anywhere.
Matthews punched him, and he gave his eye puffed up and his lip puffed up some, so he had to come out of the game. That was the first game of the doubleheader. Second game of the doubleheader, he hit a home run and a double and won the ball game. You know, so this is a you didn't want to mess with him, that's for sure.
You know, there was an old saying by Billy Martin, and this was in reference to Ted Williams, who, as a great player, coached the Washington Nationals, managed them during the 60s. He often said, great players can never be great managers because they don't know how to deal with mediocrity.
That's a great point. That's a really good point.
Yeah, Frank was not that kind of guy. Frank was somebody that understood the baseball player considerably better, even with a guy who had God-given talent.
Yeah.
No question. I mean, I watched him as he would patrol the Expos locker room, and we go through the clubhouse, and he would sit and talk to one player and talk to another player, and he had those guys believing in themselves. They didn't have the talent to go to the playoffs back then, and then in 2005 they moved to Washington, but he was a fellow who did a superstar, a Hall of Fame, grade A, certified, wonderful talent who could, in fact, relate to the players, and he absolutely commanded their respect.
That's a great point because, you know, that always comes up, and it's come up in all sports, Russ, and you know this, and I hearken back to when, and a person I know you knew as well, the late Tony Gwynn, and when Tony Gwynn went to become a college manager, the question was, you realize they won't hit like you. Like, will you be able to? You're such a perfectionist when it comes to your craft. Will you be able to accept as much as you show them, as much as you tell them, it won't translate to their hands like it did to you or to their eyes? But you didn't get that from Frank. He bought into the fact that they weren't going to be him, right?
That's right. And, you know, the thing about Frank, most experience, obviously, as a position player, was separate from pitching. But he was smart enough to know, all right, I got to learn about this, and I've got to surround myself with the right people. And he had pitching coaches who knew what they were doing, and they helped him out a lot. So I think that, you know, he was bright enough, certainly, and astute enough to make sure that if there was an area where he thought that maybe other input from people who had better, more experience in that area were needed, he wasn't afraid to go out and recruit them, and that was a sign of strength on his part, I believe.
What will be your most endearing memory of Frank Robinson?
Well, my most endearing memory of Frank Robinson, it's really twofold, Clay. First, my personal relationship with him, and he was, again, very cordial with me. I mean, I was a guy up from AAA, you know, working the Expos games, and he didn't have to give me the time of day, but he did. And then, of course, as a player, I grew up a big fan of the Baltimore Orioles. When they won the World Series in 1970, you know, he and Brooks Robinson and Boog Powell and Jim Palmer and guys like that came up so big. And, I just remember how he came to Baltimore, and he took a good team and made it into a great team. And it was the best trade they ever made and one of the best trades ever any team has ever made.
Russ Langer here, the voice of the Aviators. Hey, we're less than 60 days from when the ballpark opens up. Are you? Do you have your own personal key and parking spot yet? Are you ready to go or what?
Not at the spot. It's someplace out in the dirt lot right now. They're not. We haven't quite gotten that far, but certainly in my mind I have. And now that we're getting into this state-of-the-art facility, it's the excitement level with each passing day just amps right up. And If you, I know Ed has been by there quite a bit. Anyone out there, if you haven't had a chance, ride on by, right across the street from Red Rock Casino. Take a look. It's going to be a masterpiece, and we're so thrilled about the opening day on April the 9th.
Russ, awesome stuff off DC. I want to wish you and Courtney well. Russ about to become a dad.
Yeah,
and you know what? I
want to
see Russ Langer a year from now with the young son in little flippers out in that center field pool, both of you pushing Logan into that thing and giving the first swimming lesson. Now, that would be a cool sight, my friend.
Well, you know what? That would be a cool sight. But as I said, as I told you earlier, and we went to lunch, we had a 4D, this is the latest technology, a 4D ultrasound recently.
Wow.
And I know it's my kid because he's got the same expression I had after the 79 World Series of the Orioles lost.
Well, the great thing also is I think he ran a 4.240 in there. So we had the 40 guy on beforehand. So he's fast and he looks like you. So God bless and thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys. Anytime.
There he is.
Thank
Russ,
you, Russ
Langer, voice of your football and the Aviators, talking about the passing of Frank Robinson. Well, we're going to have to take a break because she just walked into the studio and she's putting things on Twitter that are disgusting and stuff that doesn't need. I'm going to start hacking in the timeout here and hopefully get her as ill as possible. It's Steph McKenzie next on the Press Box.
Get ready for an afternoon of food and entertainment featuring top performers from the Las Vegas Strip. It's the Share the Promise campaign concert on Sunday, February 10th to benefit Family Promise of Las Vegas.